broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. From Boots to Biz Radio, sharing helpful information and practical insight about the franchise industry for the military veteran entrepreneur. Now, here's your host, Bill Williams.
Good afternoon. Welcome to From Boots to Biz Radio, where we are dedicated to promoting franchise ownership among military veterans, military spouses, and first responders. Kevin Finn's over here, my co-host and trusty sidekick. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing good, Bill, as usual.
Yeah, good,
good. It's good to be back in the studio.
It is, because it's still cold out there. It's Georgia, and it's March, and it's cold. And
I'm tired. It's warm one day, it's cold the next. That's Atlanta for you.
Bad, bad, bad. Well, hey, we have a great show lined up today. We have Lisa Rosser and Jill Dunn from The Value of a Veteran on, and they're both remote. Jill's down in sunny Jacksonville, right, Jill?
Yes, I'm down at the Naval Air Station in Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay, and Lisa's up in Chicago and busy traveling and running workshops. So
that's correct.
Yeah, good. And Lisa, you're a 16-year HR, human resources professional, but you also spent 22 years as an officer in the United States Army and Army Reserves. Is that right?
That is correct. I just retired in 2011.
You're much too young to retire, but it's okay.
I appreciate that.
So, well, and Jill, you and Lisa are lifelong friends, right? Childhood friends?
Yes, we are, from the age of about 5 and 6. Me first, Lisa's a little bit older. We say I'm the taller, younger one by about an inch. Yeah, and by about a year. So that's about it.
Okay. And you fit into that professional military spouse because your husband is a career naval officer. Isn't that correct?
Yes, he is. He's been on active duty for 25 years since he graduated from high school and then went on to the Ohio State University ROTC program where we met back in 1989.
Excellent. Well, thank you both for your service because, you both have served. So, thank you for that. Well, Lisa, why don't you tell us a little bit about the value of a veteran and how you got started on it and what the mission is.
Absolutely. The value of a veteran is a human resources training and consulting firm. Essentially, we take the mystery out of the military for organizations that are interested in improving their recruitment and retention of military veterans. And so the organizations that typically we work with are primarily corporate entities, but we also have a very strong following amongst government organizations and higher education institutions, and then here in the last couple of years, the franchise industry, because you guys are very well aware of the fact that veterans make great franchise owners, so it's an area that's emerging for us.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you run workshops and out there, and the people that come to those are mostly out of the corporate world. Well, you just described it exactly, corporate world and some government entities. But how are you helping them? How are you, I know in the military we have acronyms that never end, but, what else, how are you helping them understand and find veterans that should make outstanding employees?
That's one of the things that folks kind of have a hard time wrapping their mind around at first, because they make an assumption that what we are is some kind of a placement firm or a job board where they can just post their opportunities with us and we will find them the kind of talent. And we want people to take a step back and really begin to understand and appreciate what military service is, not just from a patriotic perspective, but truly from a skills perspective, all the different things that we have in the military in terms of both occupational skills, but then all of the great transferable skills that we bring with us from the military. And our thought is, if you understand the military better and understand the skills and understand how to find military talent, how to attract it with the right types of messaging that resonates with military members, how to source this type of talent, then any type of organization, regardless of your status or your mission, can improve its recruitment of veterans. But if you're not really willing to take the time to get to understand us a little bit better, you may happen to hire us or, you know, award a business to us completely by accident, but the question is, you know, will that offer stick? So we want people to really begin to understand and appreciate us, not just for the patriotic reasons, but for the actual skills and talents that we bring and to how to nurture that.
Well, how are you finding the response out there? Are you seeing a lot of activity?
Tremendous interest? Amount of activity. And as we mentioned before, you know, we have four different areas that we cover down on. So corporate is again, by far the most that we do, simply because there is so much of a push on that right now. And there's so much media attention and congressional attention being paid to it, and the White House is paying attention to it. So most companies are smart enough to know that, well, if everybody's doing it, there must be a good reason why this is happening. So folks are truly trying to improve upon the actions that they're taking. But other types of organizations also have their motivators. The federal government has an executive order that the president signed back in 2009 that basically said the federal government will become the employer of choice for military. So we want all of the different agencies, not just Department of Defense and, you know, Department of Homeland Security, the groups that you would think would be very good at hiring military. We want to see USAID improve their recruitment of veterans, the National Science Foundation, the Department of Agriculture, all of these different groups that, you know, could certainly stand to use this kind of talent, and we want them to improve.
Absolutely.
Colleges and universities have a kind of a two-pronged approach. Their first and primary focus is, of course, the veterans who are, once they leave the military, using their post-9/11 GI Bill to go back to school and obtain their degrees. So now we've got this, you know, pretty strong foothold of service members who are student veterans now, and they just have a different set of needs than the traditional student body. They're an older group. They tend to be about 50% of them are married, have obviously a very different life experience than the average college student. So there's a whole lot of support that needs to be put in place to make sure that they have a successful time at college. And we need to give them different academic advising, different career advising than we would typically give to a traditional student. With the franchise organizations, it's twofold, actually, because there is certainly a interest in awarding franchise opportunities to service members, because many organizations are starting to realize that given the types of experience and the types of training that we've had in the military, it just lends itself very nicely to the franchise model, where it's typically very systematic, very process-oriented. You need someone who can follow a process and be able to improve and add to efficiencies on it, and so that's something that military members do very well. And they're very team-oriented, they're very training-oriented, they're very goal-oriented. So there's a lot to really want to appreciate for military members becoming franchise owners. But also, these different franchise companies are encouraging their franchisees to recruit and retain veterans as part of their own internal workforce for their different stores or their different offices, because, again, just knowing that the military member brings a great set of skills with them, if they don't want to be a business owner, can they still be a team member for that business? Absolutely. So, you know, the question is, why wouldn't you want to do this?
Absolutely. Yeah, very well said. Very well said. Well, I know you're also, and Jill, jump in here anytime, but I know, Lisa, you're also a strong advocate for small business, even though you're out there, you know, mostly talking to the bigger companies. But tell us about your experience in building up the value of a veteran and lessons learned, I guess you can say.
Well, we started the company in 2007, and really what the catalyst was for the whole thing was, at the time I was working for a global consulting firm, and as just part of on the side of what I was normally doing for the company, I was being asked by the internal recruiting team to assist them with putting together some materials that would help educate their own recruiting elements on how to improve recruitment of veterans. And they knew I was a military, I was in the reserves at the time, so I was still serving. And they just realized that there's a lot that we don't know about the military, and if we knew a little bit more, perhaps we could get better at recruiting military. So I asked them, well, what is it that you don't know? And it ended up being pretty much everything. So it's like, okay, well, let me see if I can't assemble some materials that would help make sense of the military for you. And as I started to assemble the materials and do some additional research and, you know, field the types of questions that they had, I started to realize that there's a lot of other organizations out there that also want this information. They just don't know how to get it. They don't mm-hmm. know how to understand the mm-hmm. military.
Yep.
And also, because it's, you know, typically where this starts from is within the HR function, there's rules and regulations in HR. There's certain things that you can and cannot do. So it has to be delivered from a perspective of what is something that an HR person can do in an organization. So we don't want to give them suggestions that are either going to be illegal for them to do or
right.
otherwise impossible for them to do. So that's really what started it off for us is I decided, okay, well, I'm just going to assemble all of this information into what I believe is a very systematic step-by-step way to develop a military recruitment and retention program. If you follow these steps, basically, if you think of all of these different things, then you can develop an effective program. And I turned that into a hiring guide. So that is the first thing that we produced out of this organization. And I marketed it extensively on LinkedIn. And people found it, downloaded it, read it, said, oh, my God, this is good stuff. You know, I've never seen it quite presented this way before, but it makes perfect sense. And there's a lot of things in here that we're not doing and we probably should be doing. Can you give us some more context around it? And it's like, sure, I can. You know, I can come up with webinars. I can bundle those webinars into workshops. And so that's really where it all took off entirely after that point. So by end of 2008, it was time to leave my full-time job and fling myself into the world of being an entrepreneur. And it's been a wild ride, but it's been very rewarding.
So and now you're traveling quite a bit, delivering workshops all over the country, right?
That is correct. So, of course, you know, anytime clients ask for us to come and teach them different tactics for recruiting and retaining veterans, then we'll go to wherever the client happens to be. But we also are trying to get this information into the hands of as many people as possible and make it easy for them to get it, because some companies are not really at the stage yet where they can have all of their, you know, 250 recruiters or 50 recruiters, whatever size company they are. They just can't. They're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
But they could send one person, so it doesn't make sense to have me come on site for one person. So one of the tactics that we decided to employ is, why don't I just take the material to the different, you know, cities where there happens to be a lot of large companies. So I do anywhere from 12 to 14 public workshops a year. And so every year I just pick a list of cities that I think would be appropriate for us to visit, and we publish that schedule in advance, and people can see where we're going to be and when we're going to be, and then people can just register and send, you know, one or two people, just to sort of get the basics down, to understand really the level of effort that they need to put into a program like this, and then they can take that information back, and some of them run with it and build their program off of that, and other people say, okay, you know, now we know what we need to be doing for the next couple of years. Let's determine when we want to have, you know, the Value of a Veteran come in and teach our recruiters or our hiring managers or our supervisors some of these content areas, and then we can just, you know, execute on the ideas that are given out in those training sessions.
And you're getting a lot of response at the workshops around the various cities?
Very, very positive response. Most of the clients that we work with, if they already have some level of a program in place and they're just trying to really fine-tune it or ramp it up in certain areas, they're able to save themselves oftentimes about 8 months of kind of flapping their wings and trying to figure out what they need to be doing. They can just go, okay, great, now I've got the resources, I understand the strategy, I understand the steps that I need to take and sort of how things work in the military, so I can be more strategic in my efforts. And many of those companies are the very same ones that you will see, you know, 6 months, a year or so down the road, making the giant announcements to the White House or to the media saying we're committed to hiring X number of veterans over the next couple of years, because they're in a better position to do it. Because they have a basis of understanding of what a program like this takes and how it differs from any other kind of recruiting program you might be undertaking. So they're just in a better position from a point of knowledge on how to execute the program.
Okay. And then if they come to your workshop, and they think they need some more assistance, some more information, then they can contact you directly, and you can work with them on an individual basis. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes. Yeah. So we do private consulting for some of our clients. You know, again, not everybody needs that necessarily, but some of them appreciate the fact that, again, it's a way to kind of speed up the process, because then now you've got someone with a level of expertise that's guiding you step by step on how to apply the information to your particular situation. You know, what industry you're in, the types of jobs you're trying to fill, you know, the level of effort and support that you have behind it, it just makes it a little bit easier for them.
Good.
But one of the questions that we tend to get is, okay, well, it sounds like you just do this for big companies, you know, 10,000 or more employees and Fortune whatever companies, and that's not us. We're a small company. We're 100 or less or mm-hmm. 500 or less, and so you don't have anything for us. And it's not true.
That's not
and that's
true,
one
yeah.
of the things that Jill is incredibly helpful in conducting is, you know, we're human beings. You can pick up the phone and call us, either one of us, and we would be happy to talk you through any questions that you have, any issues that you're having. You know, most people get a copy of the hiring guide either very inexpensively or they get it for free, depending on, you know, how they heard about us and where they heard from us. So you can get a lot of information out of the guide. We wrote, or we do write a blog. So there's a lot of tremendously great information in the blog that, again, very step-by-step, process-oriented kind of information that you can take and run with that. And we do free sessions twice a month for employers on, you know, just basic topics of developing a military recruitment strategy. And we spend maybe 15, 20 minutes just sort of outlining the basic building blocks. And then the rest of the time, it's what questions do you have? You know, do you want to know about tax credits? Do you want to know about training programs and how to pay for those training programs? Do you want to know about Office of Federal Contracts compliance programs? And we can answer those questions, and Jill can answer those questions. Even, you know, if I'm traveling the world and not available, they know they can call Jill, and she'll answer those questions on our behalf.
Very good. Very good.
And I welcome those calls. Those are the best ones when you really get to sit down, take the time to talk to a new recruiter that may only have a year or two of experience and they don't understand anything at all about the military.
Yep.
Just in a 10 or 15 minute conversation, we can clear up a lot of the myths about military service members and why they make such fantastic candidates. Just about any type of business across there, there's always a great role that a veteran can take. Not just with the franchising, what we were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. Following standard operating procedures and personal accountability. And these are all things that those veterans come equipped with as soon as they walk out the door of the military. They're ready to go. And it's difficult for them when they're coming back into private sector and they have a way of, they want to take the reins and they want to do the job. And maybe just with a little bit of guidance, you know, they could get a really far ahead and they can really prove to everybody that they're ready. But I think a lot of the public thinks that what they do is, you know, dig holes and blow things up and, you know, what you see on TV. And that's really not what they do. For every job out there, there's a direct, about 80%, Lisa, or 81%, there's a direct civilian equivalent mm-hmm. to the jobs that they're doing in the military. They're doctors, they're nurses, they are operators. They do science. They do research. They, you know, whatever they're doing, what civilians are doing, they just do it in a different way, much more structured, and they're very personally accountable for the work that they do. So, and I think when Lisa goes into these workshops and she does these presentations, the overwhelming sense of the employers sitting there are just amazed at how she can bring it together and put it all in a common sense format that says you have to identify what you need first before you go look for it.
Sure.
Because you're going to be looking in the wrong place if you don't take the first step. Again, Lisa's going back to the step-by-step process, and it works well for everybody when she's delivering live. She also does those sessions virtually. Folks that can't travel and can't, you know, get to the cities that she's going to be at, for the remainder of the year, she's offering some virtual sessions where you can just log right in at your desk and you don't have to travel and you can take advantage of all of her time, and she breaks it up into four sections to make it really easy. That way you can absorb everything you learned the first session before you come back the following week to the second, third, and fourth sessions. So that's another area where breaking out of the pack and doing things, making it easier to get this information.
Good. Well, before we leave today, and we want to make sure we give people ways to contact you, but we can do with that. Well, can we go back? Let's circle back around and touch on something you mentioned earlier. That how about just looking at it from the veterans' point of view? We know the statistics are that there's something like 200,000 a year for the next 5 years will be leaving active duty, whether for retiring or end of commitment or whatever. That's a lot of people to absorb. And some part of that population is going to be interested in entrepreneurship. So I am a veteran. if we're taking the viewpoint of a veteran coming out of service now, why should they be looking at entrepreneurship from your viewpoints?
There's estimates anywhere from between 9 to about 13% of service members ultimately go into an entrepreneurial route, whether it's owning their own small business or going into the franchise route. And it's simply because they get to a point where, yes, I've learned a lot in the military. I've learned to trade. I've learned systems and process and problem solving and things like that. But I'm really at the stage where I'm ready to be my own boss. I've had plenty of opportunities for people to tell me what to do, and now I'm looking for that opportunity where I'm running the show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's at least historically what the services have experienced. But it's one of the areas that I think we don't do a great job coming out of the military of preparing that percentage of folks who are interested in being entrepreneurs, other than to give them a little bit of information and say, hey, here's the Small Business Administration webpage and here's some loans you can get. Good luck with that. There's not a tremendous focus on that. There's a lot more focus on finding employment,
sure.
And there's a little bit of focus on going back to school, but the entrepreneurial part is a bit lacking, I think. They're just sort of leaving it to the devices of the service member. Well, if you're interested in going that route, go find out on your own what it takes. So having opportunities to speak to small business owners, veteran small business owners, franchise owners, anyone that's running a business, that's something that service members really need is they need to get the straight skinny from somebody who's doing it,
mm-hmm.
and the lessons learned and what would I do differently if I had to do it all over again and how would I better prepare, when would I start preparing before I leave the military, mm-hmm. so that I have enough of a support system to back up when the times are lean. And I like to remind people, it's like, you remember, I decided to go full-time into this business in 2008, at the end of 2008, which is a really crappy time decide that you're going to go into business for yourself with the economy in the toilet. But, again, maybe fortune favors the bold. It just so happened that when corporate America stopped listening at that moment, simply because they were all trying to save themselves, that's when the government reared up and said, we're going to do this. And that's when higher education reared up and said, we've got student veterans to support. So it carried me through those years that would otherwise have been disastrous if I had just sat back and only focused on what I initially came in to do. So, finding that person who has an interest in paying attention to what's going on in the space around them and saying, okay, if I'm going to be a business owner, I have to be agile. I have to be very perceptive. I need to be flexible and willing to adapt. And, again, those are the things that the military taught us. So let's leverage what the military taught us and figure out how we're going to be successful in our own type of venture.
Well, and to add to that a little bit, veterans may think, I don't have the right skills, to go into my own business. I don't know, I'm not an accountant or I'm not a salesperson or the classic view of a salesperson, which is, also a big misperception, just like the misperception of a military veteran. Franchising in particular, you mentioned that they're very interested in veterans, but they have those systems in place. They would rather train someone in how to run their particular business model than have someone come in and think they know how to do it, because they've proven that system. They've got the training, and so that structure is there. So it's basically to come in and kind of like a TOE or a procedure. You can come in and execute the system, and you have a very, very high chance of success. So, there are those tools out there that are available. So the veteran shouldn't be looking at this and saying, "Well, I don't really know how to run a business." If you go the franchise route, there's a lot of support and a lot of tools available that you just have to execute. So you can pick it up very quickly, and they'll teach you. So,
yeah, I mean, that's, I think, one of the things that we really need to emphasize more to that subset of people who are thinking about being an entrepreneur. It's like, start doing some of this research long before you're ready to leave the military, because you have to, there's a lot of exploration that needs to get done.
Yep.
What is your tolerance for risk? What is your,
yep,
flexibility when things aren't going exactly the way that you thought they were going to go? And that will
and
inform,
they mostly won't.
Maybe what type of business you might want to go into.
Yep. Well, just like in a military situation, the plans are there, but it doesn't always go that way. So, usually
no plan
doesn't.
Ever survives the first attack from the enemy. So
that's right. That's right.
And we know that, so we have to remind ourselves of that, I think, though, sometimes.
And it's much.
And I know I had to do that at
some
points during my career.
Yep. So, well, let's go again. We talked about qualities of veterans have that franchisors value. The teamwork, the leadership. I think, in my opinion, a higher degree of integrity than the average slice of the population. Initiative, willing to be held accountable or willing to accept responsibility. Those are all qualities that franchise companies love, and they know that those qualities are most often found in military veterans.
Absolutely. The one thing that's always kind of sticking for people, or at least one of the areas, is they're like, well, what do they know about profit and loss? And,
mm-hmm,
these aren't necessarily business school graduates, although we certainly have some of those. It's,
yep,
like, well, we understand inherently or certainly can learn the profit end of things. The loss side actually is you have to understand, how are you going to make your company money or save your company money? So how to save money is through efficiencies, through getting more out of less, through,
mm-hmm,
working smarter, through motivating people to work harder and things like that. And those are things that are inherent in the military experience. You're already doing that.
Yep.
So that part you tend to get very quickly when someone points out it's not really any different in the business world. You're just, maybe you don't get to yell and scream the same way you got to do it in the military, but you still get to, to motivate folks. But it's the profit side. It's like, well, how do you make a profit? Well, you have to offer something that people want to buy, and you have to, have great customer service, and you have to be willing to go above and beyond in certain cases. And so, once you explain it to them, then it's sort of like, you're right, I kind of already do that in certain aspects. I already, have spent time teaching people what their alternatives are in a particular situation. So it's no different if I'm providing them alternatives for buying telephone service or, accessories for my phone or, lawn care or anything that, a typical company would offer.
Mm-hmm.
So once they start to make the connections, then it becomes a lot easier. And it's like, okay, well now, here's how we run the numbers and here's how that process works. It's like, okay, like any other process.
Yep. Yep. What is it? What's that phrase? Improvise, adapt, overcome? Is something like that?
Exactly.
So,
the bottom line is, failure is not an option.
There you go.
You're given a mission, and you're not allowed to whine about the fact, well, I don't have all the tools or materials or people or conditions that I would want to have. It's like, well, no one ever does. So get over it.
That's right.
and accomplish the mission.
And there's no guarantee anywhere. I mean, whether it's going to work for a company or going into your own business, there are no. It's not like the military where you can say, okay, I'm going to put my 20, 22, 25 years in, and you can pretty much count on that. It's different out there, so there are no guarantees anywhere. So
that is correct.
Go for it. Well, let's see. We've covered a lot of ground and provide a lot of information. Do you want to talk from your viewpoint, I've kind of rattled off, you know, maybe too much, but why veterans should look at franchise ownership?
Absolutely. I think the first thing that veterans need to know about franchise ownership is there are so many different types of franchises out there. Mm-hmm. And I think most folks, again, if you don't know anything about franchising, you tend to think, well, everything is food.
It's fast food.
Fast food restaurants or things like that. And maybe I'm not interested in fast food restaurants, or the one or two that I've looked at are very expensive, so the barrier to entry is very high. From a financial point. And so they're just like, well, then that doesn't work. And it's like, if you had any idea the variety of types of businesses that are out there that are franchises. I love driving, you know, past different strip malls, and I can now, you know, having a lot of exposure to the franchise industry, I'm picking them out of the shopping malls, like franchise.
Yep.
Because, again, it's like I start to recognize the brands. And it's like, yes, and it's everything from, you know, Massage Envy to your lawn care company to taxes to house cleaning to you name it, you know, the UPS store, those kind of things, all franchises.
That truck right in front of you.
There's all kinds of small business opportunities out there. It's just, you know, at the end of the day, you're a business owner. So what is your tolerance for risk, and what is your tolerance for, you know, the type of environment that you would be working in? What interests you?
Yep.
And chances are you can find a franchise that would support that.
Oh, yeah, there's something like 4,000 to 5,000 different brands out there. Only 26%, I think, is the number that are restaurant related. So, you know, there's just so many. I mean, that truck in front of you that's got tools in it, or the plumber that's across the street, the people that are making signs that, populate the building that you walk into. It's just enormous, and it's a great
there's like
experience.
Kids art classes.
Yeah.
There's, you know, other types of music instruction, and so I mean, you know, what's your passion? What's your interest? Chances are, there's a franchise out there somewhere that meets that criteria.
Absolutely, and I try to take the tack that have the passion for what the lifestyle that you want to create for yourself, and there's any number of businesses that. That you will enjoy that'll help you create that lifestyle. So it's not necessarily a passion for that particular business model, but for what it can do for you. So, tell people to come into it with an open mind and be willing to learn, because there always are surprises out there. So, well,
one of the things that I really appreciate about the franchise model is it takes a lot of the research and you know, unknown away from going into business for yourself. It's like, okay, you may have an idea of, you know, gosh, I love working with animals. You know, maybe I should open up a little pet grooming station. And if you've never done that before, then it's very daunting to figure out what licenses you have and all of that other, you know, how do I hire people? What am I looking for? What equipment do I need? All of that.
How do you market?
Whereas if you go with a franchise model, it's like all of that's been done for you. It's just a matter of, you know, picking the right location and, you know, going from that point forward. All of the training, the identification of the equipment that you need, the licenses you'll need to get, all of that is identified for you. It's just up to you to actually go get it. But now you're not trying to figure out what you got to get.
Right. I mean, you can even think of it as taking off one uniform and putting another one on. I mean, when you put on that new uniform, now you're in a different unit. You're doing a different playing a different role. So, it's very good. Lisa, you know, we've had a great show. What have I missed? What else would you like to talk about before we close down here?
I think, at least from the perspective of what should a veteran know at this point, it's, you know, again, as early as possible in the process, you know, start to do the research. And I think it's very helpful to explore a lot of different opportunities. And again, working with folks like yourself, if there's an opportunity to hear a big picture perspective, you know, how do I determine what the right franchise model is for me, or what the right type of franchise business is for me? What are the things I need to be thinking about so that I can narrow down the field in that sense? It's very helpful to know that there are folks out there that can assist with the thought process portion of determining if this is the right opportunity for you. And there's plenty of veteran franchise owners out there.
Yes.
So if you ultimately narrow it down to a particular brand that you're interested in, ask to talk to some of the franchise owners who happen to be veterans and get their perspective on how things went and how supportive that company is.
Yep.
You know, never go in blindly and just say, okay, sounds like a great opportunity for me. Ask as many questions as possible and try to get it right directly from a veteran who's done it before you.
I think that's you've touched on a very important point there. First of all, there are consultants out there like me that offer no-cost consulting to the prospective franchise owner, no cost, you know, overt, hidden, or any other way. But also, you know, one of the things that the great advantage to evaluating a franchise is that in the process of due diligence or evaluating and determining if brand XYZ is the right one for you. The prospective franchise owner has the ability and is encouraged, actually, to talk to as many current franchise owners as possible and ask them the questions, you know, hey, you know, what's it like every day? You know, and what is the training like? And would you make that same decision again? Would you do this again? You know, and they can do all that without obligating themselves or having any cost, so a huge advantage to in the evaluation process to figure out if this is something that people really want to do. So,
yeah, it really is, and again, the supportive structure that a franchise offers them, and you know, making sure that your territory is your territory, because I had another business a long time ago, and just being an independent business owner, nothing was stopping a very similarly situated company from opening up across the street from me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, but if I'm working within the franchise system and within territories, there's not going to be another one just like me opening up across the street.
Absolutely. They should not, right, because that would damage your business, and they're not interested in doing that. They want their franchise owners to be successful. So,
yeah, I mean, it just makes sense.
Absolutely. Well, how can people contact you directly, if they'd like to talk more, learn more about the value of a veteran?
Yeah, well, to find out just, in general, those different areas that we covered, if you have questions about the types of training, I always direct everyone to the website.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the value of a veteran. Got to have the in the front. The
yep.
valueofaveteran.com is our website. And then from there, you can see all the different types of service offerings and things that we have. Our contact page on there has our phone number and email address if you'd like to give us a call. We are on Facebook, so it's facebook.com/thevalueofaveteran. We're on Twitter. It's just value of a veteran because there's not enough characters
right,
to put
right.
the in front of it. And, of course, on LinkedIn. Both Jill and I are on LinkedIn, so we welcome anyone to connect with us. We have our own group on LinkedIn called
yep.
The Value of a Veteran, which any kind of company, government, franchise, corporate, or otherwise, higher ed, is welcome to join and connect with other service members who are parts of our group. We're almost 8,000 members right now, so, good opportunity to be in there.
Very good, very good. And I've been to the website and several times, and it's well done. And you have your full schedule for the workshops on there too, so or the next few.
That is correct,
yeah.
for the corporate workshops.
Yep. So you can, Lisa Rosser coming to a city near you soon, right? Well, thanks again for being here, and we'll thank Jill. I know she had to leave, but this is we'll move on here, and the International Franchise Association describes a frantrepreneur as one possessing the desire to become a business owner without reinventing the wheel. The National Veteran-Owned Business Association, which is NOVOBA, defines a vetpreneur as a military veteran who organizes and manages a business. Our mission at From Boots to Biz Radio is to help create more veteran frontrepreneurs by providing information and education about the many choices in franchising. We want to help start more small businesses and have those businesses employ more veterans. On the landing page on Boots to Biz Radio, under Business Radio X, there's a webinar schedule. We run our own webinars on how to choose a franchise, and we've got one coming up on March 26th and again on April 9th. So if you're interested in doing that, please register. This is Bill Williams. I am your host of From Boots to Biz Radio. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me directly at bwilliams at 4, the numeral 4, axiom.com. That's B. Williams at 4, alpha, x-ray, x-ray, IOM.com. Until next week, carry on.